From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live on Belvedere Street, two blocks up from Haight.
I'm from the Sunset.
A foggy inner Sunset.
I live in the Mish.
Coming up, a new San Francisco City proposal mandates that businesses offer flexible work schedules for parents and caregivers on their payrolls. We'll hear the case for it.
As a city, we ought to say that our workplaces work for our parents who are struggling to both be good employees as well as good workers.
And we'll hear why some are against it.
It creates a whole level of bureaucracy that interjects itself into the daily operation of businesses.
Also, we'll bike a greener wiggle. And hear a high school student's mixed feelings on driving.
I urge fully developed frontal lobe people to reevaluate the way they get around.
We're seeing the world from a different perspective today on Cross Currents. Sunnyvale-based Yahoo made headlines earlier this year when CEO Marissa Meyer announced that employees would no longer be allowed to work from home. The reaction was immediate, loud, and varied. There were those who cheered the idea, but women's rights groups saw this as infringing on parents' ability to work while caring for their children at home. Another argument was simply that people are different and need different kinds of workspaces to make them comfortable enough to do their jobs well.
Of course, most of our schools and our workplaces and all our institutions of public life, they tend to be one-size-fits-all environments when it comes to stimulation. And yet, what all the literature is telling us is that we each have very different sweet spots in order to perform at our best.
That's writer Susan Cain, whose work on introverts led her to write the book Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking.
So the challenge for us personally is to set up our lives so that we're in our sweet spot as much as we can be. But this is also a challenge for organizations to think about, how can we make each person here situated as much as possible in their sweet spot so that they can maximize their talents and their energies.
Well, the city of San Francisco is entering a similar realm of debate. Supervisor David Chu has proposed that it should be mandatory for all businesses operating in San Francisco to allow their workers who are parents or caregivers the option to change their work schedules at any time. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Supervisor Chu in his office to understand why.
So the policy would allow an employee who's a parent to have the right to request a flexible working arrangement, the opportunity to ask an employee whether they might be able to go part-time, whether they could start their shift a little earlier, a little later. The employer would have the ability, for business reasons, to deny that request. But this policy is really designed to ensure that employees have a safe space to have a conversation and to negotiate with an employer.
And what businesses, what companies would this affect? I know that it's only for those that have at least 10 employees, but would it be for any that operate in San Francisco, or who all would it affect?
So this law would only apply to parents and caregivers who've been working at their place of employment for more than 6 months at an employer that is larger than 10 employees. And that would eliminate 85% of all businesses in San Francisco.
A lot of people think that San Francisco already has quite a lot of legislation. There's a lot of regulations in San Francisco, for good or for bad. I mean, it's a place that really cares and is conscious about different rights. So some people would say, I would think, that why would we need more legislation for something that's a private matter anyway between employers and employees?
San Francisco has been on the forefront of making sure that that our workers have health care, have a minimum wage. If they get sick, there are some protections. We also have one of the most successful economies right now in California and in the country. Our unemployment rate is at a record low. And part of what we want to do is ensure that everyone who works here is able to benefit from the fact that our economy is doing well. Also, at the same time, have the lowest number of families, the lowest number of kids of any major city in the country. And I think as a city, we ought to, particularly during these times, say that our workplaces work for our parents who are struggling to both be good employees as well as good workers.
So the Family-Friendly Workplace Act that you've proposed comes shortly on the heels of the Yahoo CEO making a statement where she would not allow flex time working in her workplace because she didn't think that it was good for her business, which sparked a huge national dialogue. What do you think about that perspective, which obviously is quite a large company, even though it doesn't operate out of San Francisco?
The situation involving Marissa Meyer and Yahoo is a completely different situation than what we're trying to deal with our legislation. At Yahoo, all employees were allowed to work from home. And what she observed was that there are many employees that weren't coming to work, and many folks, parents and non-parents, were not engaged in the workplace. What we are talking about with our legislation is much more modest. It's much more targeted. It only applies to parents, and it allows for a conversation for when a parent needs to be at work. Now, under my legislation, the Marissa Meyers of the world, for business reasons, could actually tell an employee, no, you actually have to do your work at work. So there's nothing about our policy that would be anything inconsistent with what she is suggesting.
Are you concerned at all that this might keep businesses from wanting to come into San Francisco? I mean, you mentioned the economy is good right now, but that's not always the case. And if there are more regulations on how businesses can operate, that could be an impediment, right?
I have been proud to champion many policies in my 5 years in office to eliminate what I think of as regulations that have not helped the situation. So we've eliminated dozens of business fees that haven't worked. We've provided tax breaks to tech companies like Twitter and other companies that have that were the only companies in the state that had their stock options taxed. Last year, we passed a significant business tax reform proposal that made sure that, again, our local economy was being competitive. I think this is a very modest common sense proposal. I think many companies are already doing the right thing, but we've heard too many stories of parents who feel uncomfortable having this conversation, who are concerned about discrimination, who are concerned about retaliation, and those are the folks that we're trying to address to make sure that as our economy does well, that our families and our parents who want to be good employees are able to continue to work here in San Francisco.
That's Supervisor David Chu, who's proposing a new flexible work schedule policy in San Francisco. However, others in the city are skeptical, like Jim Lazarus at the Chamber of Commerce. So Ben went to his downtown office to hear why.
Well, we feel good about family-friendly flex hours. We don't feel too good about the proposed mandate of Supervisor Chu's.
Why not?
It creates a whole level of bureaucracy that interjects itself into the daily operation of businesses. Its main point is a good one. People should feel comfortable asking parents and caregivers for flexible work schedules. But then it creates a bureaucracy in the city's Office of Labor Standards Enforcement that would basically allow a city hearing officer to step in and tell a business what type of work schedules they have to give individual employees. That's number one. The second part of it is it tells employers for all its workforce that they have to post work schedules at least 2 weeks out and hold to those work schedules. Any emergency overtime might be rejected by an employee. If there's a lack of work, there's real questions about what the ordinance does about that. Does an employer have to pay a person for not working because there was a schedule 2 weeks out and all of a sudden something changed and the work isn't there? So there are a lot of problems with the specifics of the legislation.
Well, let's go back to that first one. And if there were somebody from the city, let's just say it's no budget issue, no problem for the city to have somebody doing this job, but if there were somebody from the city who were mediating between an employee and an employer in such a case, what's wrong with that?
It's not the proper role of a government hearing officer to second guess a business owner as to what undue hardship is on his or her business. There's a standard that the ordinance tries to create that says a business must approve any flex time, work from home, modified hours, job sharing that might be proposed by the employee unless the business owner meets a burden of proof that creates undue hardship on his or her business. That being said, people should feel comfortable requesting flex time and having a fair hearing from his or her employer, as to the particular needs, but that accommodation, the decision to accommodate an employee's request for some form of flexible work schedule or work location really needs to vest in the business owner and not a hearing officer in City Hall.
If not through the city government, then how, if an employee has some issue with their flex time or not flex time with their employer, how should they try to resolve that then, if not through David Chu's legislation?
We believe that it is appropriate to legislate a right to ask for a flexible schedule, the right to get communications pro and con in writing, to even ask for a second hearing by on a denial, to take your case again to your employer. But that's where it needs to end. It needs to be within the employer-employee relationship. That those are the people that know the options, know the work schedules, know the impacts, and not somebody that's dropped from City Hall in the middle of a scheduling dispute in a private business.
So it sounds like you support this ordinance in part, that you think that if there is some sort of a disagreement between an employee and an employer regarding the employee's ability to go take care of their family issues, whatever those might be, caregiving issues, and they're not getting that satisfaction from their employer, that maybe there is a role for City Hall. It's just that this legislation goes too far.
I think that's fair, because we believe that for many, many years now, flex time is part of the business climate of San Francisco. And we were commenting recently when this was introduced that where'd this issue come from? I mean, I've never heard of business complaints. I haven't heard of newspaper articles. I haven't heard of employees testifying that there are hundreds of cases in San Francisco of people who really need flex time, whose employers haven't been willing to consider it within the scope of how they run their business on a daily basis. Is this just politics? That being said, we've met with Supervisor Chu. We're meeting again in the next few days with Supervisor Chu to try to work through some alternatives to the legislation that he can live with and that the small businesses in San Francisco can live with as well.
That's Jim Lazarus of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce speaking with KALW's Ben Trefney. So we've heard those flex time perspectives. Now we'd like to hear what you think. Should flexible work schedules be mandated for workers in San Francisco? Or is that ultimately going to be bad for business? Call our feedback line, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and tell us what you think. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. San Francisco's new flexible work policy proposal may be welcomed by working moms and dads, especially the long-distance commuters. It's one of many ways in which the city's being reimagined. Another way involves a much different kind of commute. This one.
I'm on my bike, and I want to ride to Haight-Ashbury, but there's a hill between this mission bar and that vicinity, so I won't dismay or be delayed. There's a flat and easy way.
We're talking about the Wiggle.
Wiggle, bike route supreme. The Wiggle, bike route of my dreams. It's called the Wiggle. There's just a single.
The bike route zigzagging through the Lower Haight, Alamo Square, and DuBose Park. Activists and community groups have been trying to improve the corridor for years. Their work has led to more sharrows on the pavement, new green paint for bike lanes, and most recently, an $80 million greening project proposal for the Wiggle Corridor. The plans being considered by the SFPUC and Municipal Transit Agency include rain gardens that capture stormwater, permeable paving, and improved bike lane safety. To Morgan Fitzgibbons, that's a good start. Fitzgibbons is founder of the Whig Party. Yes, as in the Wiggle. And in his ideal world, the city would go a lot further, as we hear in this radical idea from our archives. It's called the Wiggle. Do
the Wiggle. Where's your sacred space? For most people, it's a building where they go to worship with friends and family members, a favorite quiet spot in the wilderness, or perhaps the final resting place of a loved one. For me, it's a bike route. The Wiggle, a meandering path through the Lower Haight and Panhandle neighborhoods of San Francisco, has been used by bicyclists for decades to avoid an exhausting climb up and over some of the city's legendary hills on their way to the western half of town. Before the advent of bicycling, the indigenous Ohlone people traversed a similar path walking to and from their seasonal villages, and the route even hosted San Francisco's first farmers market back in 1943. Today, riding the Wiggle is a bona fide rite of passage for a sprouting alliance of bicyclists and sustainable community activists living in the Western Addition section of San Francisco. For us, the Wiggle is a growing symbol of community identity, site of countless happy run-ins with friends, and a natural savor of energy of the highest order, our own human energy. The Wiggle is literally our connection to the rest of the city, and as we traverse it, we carry with us our new values, our radical ideas, and a deepening sense of profound meaning for our lives. There's just one problem. The Wiggle doesn't look very sacred. With the exception of a bicycle-inspired mural and a brand new green bike box along the route, the streets that make up the Wiggle don't hint at the burgeoning sustainability movement pulsating under the rubber of our tires. My group, the Whig Party, is working to change that. We not only want everyone who rides the Wiggle to be more overtly aware of their co-creation of this sacred space, but we want visitors to San Francisco to have biking the Wiggle at the top of their to-do list. Our first project is creating a gateway to the Wiggle, a 20-foot-long arbor that will have scarlet runner beans and passion fruit for bikers to glean as they ride through. As they munch on a freshly picked bean, bikers will pass 100 yards of seasonal vegetables growing in planter's boxes. The rest of the route will feature sculpture gardens at each turn, calming roundabouts at key intersections, permeable sidewalk gardens, window boxes lining the houses along the way, community-produced art on the actual asphalt, and a whole slew of projects in the iconic panhandle at the tail end of the Wiggle. Ultimately, we hope to make it a car-free zone. When we're finished, the Wiggle won't be just a bike route. It will be a world-renowned symbol of the transformation to sustainability and the latest incarnation of the revolutionary spirit of San Francisco.
That's Whig Party founder Morgan Fitzgibbons. If you bike or live around the Wiggle, how would you like to see the area improved? Share your thoughts at kalw.org. That's also where you can find a link to the city's Wiggle survey. Listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. San Francisco is an environmentally conscious city, so it would make sense that many who live in and around it struggle with issues like how to get around. Avi Hohen sure is. He's a high school student at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts in San Francisco. He's about to turn 16 and has a hand-me-down car already, but he isn't sure he needs it.
Hi, my name is Avi Hohen. I'm 15 years old. Brisbane is one of those towns that seems like it still might be in the 1950s. Three churches, three bars, and two liquor stores. But there's also a very modern city ordinance that each household must have at least four off-street parking spaces. My question is this: do most households actually have four cars? If so, why would anyone need four cars? I get it. As the offspring of suburbanites, I understand that public transportation can be dreadful. And at the end of the day, even with all the facts about global warming and climate change, we still all need to get to work and school. But I still wonder if anything can be done to reduce the urge to hop in the car to grab a gallon of milk. I'm in the process of getting my driver's license. So, yes, I too am starting to make excuses as to why I have the right to drive. With school being in the city and my house being an hour away by bus, I have to say it will be really nice to wake up later and be on my own time instead of a SamTrans schedule. My excuses range from, I'm a teenager, I need sleep, to, it's faster to drive, to, I want to be able to take selfies of myself behind the wheel, to, it's an important step to becoming an adult. But since when is driving indicative of your adulthood? As I walk to my bus stop in the morning, I see some of the kids I grew up with in flatbed Fords or texting behind the wheels of their mother's minivans. They don't look any older than me. Shouldn't adulthood be left up to when your beard grows or when your parents deem you responsible to take care of your younger sibling? As a soon-to-be 16-year-old, I hope my frontal lobe is developed enough to make the right choice between public transportation and the culture of cars. I urge fully developed frontal lobe people to reevaluate the way they get around. Hopefully, as a society, we can find a solution to car culture. There's a saying that goes, a person's mind is a blank slate, and the world paints experiences onto the slate. I just wish someone hadn't painted gray smog over my slate, so that I might be able to grow up without the influence and pressure of cars.
Avi Hohen is a student at Ruth Asawa School of the Arts in San Francisco. His commentary was edited by Maya Ip. And that's all for today's edition of Cross Currents. The team includes Julie Kane, Tiffany Kamhai, Lisa Carmack, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Linda Ju, Alyssa Kapnick, Christina Loring, Liz Pfeffer, Mary Reese, Leah Rose, Laura Saponara, and Stephen Short. Today's show is engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. Tune in to Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. One of few legacy black-owned businesses might lose its home in San Francisco. We'll hear its story.
If my parents hadn't read that much, I would not have. If they hadn't made me go to the bookstore after school, I would have got into some mess. I don't know if I would have been alive today. Bill Cosby had been here. Oprah. One of my favorites, Barry White. Okay, I got a hug from Barry White. Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks and Chaka Khan. And we've had more writers than the whole Harlem Renaissance.
The story of Marcus Bookstore. That's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents.
The Tri-Tip Trio.
This upbeat tune is by Oakland's Tri-Tip Trio. They'll be kicking off the 10th annual Berkeley World Music Festival on Saturday at Berkeley's People's Park. The trio starts playing at noon, and the festival will offer continuous entertainment until 9 o'clock. More details at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
It will fool me yesterday. Don't you worry about your trouble. Let the music take them away. We all came here just to party, and you have it for real fine time. Don't you worry about your trouble. DJ.